Morning. This is Palm Sunday, April the 5th, 2020. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 36 through 38. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise in loud voices to God for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest."
Palm Sunday is a day of celebration commemorating the triumphant arrival of Christ Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. May our day of celebration create within us a true heart of faith in Christ Jesus.
A poem for Palm Sunday, which was written by Laura D. Field. The crowd sang Hosanna to the King and praised his holy name. Now, even in the modern day, we too should do the same. The Christ who came the palm-strewn way to enter into the gate will enter into your heart today. So do not make him wait. The palm-strewn path of long ago is still a victory sign that Christ still comes along the way into your heart and mind.
It is said that a little boy was sick on Palm Sunday, and so he stayed home from church with his mother. When his father returned from church holding a palm branch, the little boy was curious, and so he inquired, "Well, why do you have the palm branch, Daddy?" "Well, you see," said Dad, "when Jesus came into town, everybody waved palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches today." And the little boy replied, "Oh man, the one Sunday I miss is when Jesus shows up." Now this morning is a celebrated event, and it is taken from the Gospels, where a whole city threw a parade for Jesus. As Jesus rode into the city, the people threw palm branches in anticipation of his coming. Thus we get the name for this day that marked a time of celebration when Jesus was worshiped and when Jesus was praised.
This day is bittersweet for us because even as we read of the celebration, we know that Friday is coming. The cross is coming. We know that many in the same crowd will within a few short days exchange words of praise to words of death, shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" And then later shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Today, our greatest mission field in our country is in our local community. Even many of those who say they are Christians do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. No salvation in their lives, just empty words. We see a perfect example of this in our two passages this morning. On Sunday, Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem with the people shouting praises and praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. On the very next Friday, the same people are shouting, "Give us Barabbas! We want him! Crucify Jesus! Crucify him!" So why the change?
There may be many possible reasons, but one simple reason is that their words did not match their hearts. They possessed, you see, a casual, but not a committed faith. They had religion, but they missed the person. They missed Jesus. So how can we have a committed faith? How can we be real and sincere, consistent in all that we do? Well, this morning we hope to offer you three keys to such a faith. The first key is that a committed faith is not self-centered. It is Christ-centered. Now, that may sound obvious, but we often miss it. In America, for example, we tend to say to God, "Hey, God, you know, here's our calendar, here's my agenda. Now, I can squeeze you in here and possibly there." We seem to only turn to God when it is convenient or when it is useful for our purposes. In our passage of scripture, the people praised Jesus as he passed by, but many of them praised him for two reasons. First, because of his miracles. They had heard how he had healed the sick, raised the dead. They praised him because he was serving them. A second reason, possibly, is because they saw in Jesus a way to be politically delivered from the Romans, to be set free from Rome as Israel was set free from Egypt. Their praise was tempered with this attitude toward Jesus. What can you do for me? A few days later, at the trial, they saw Jesus beaten and disfigured as a man who no longer looked as a deliverer or as a conqueror. Even as harsh words were said about him, to him, they brought into all their lies. They took in all these lies, and they quickly changed their position. For them, it was just about me, 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 and not about Jesus.
There is a legend about an ancient village in Spain. The villagers learned that the king would pay a visit. In 1,000 years, a king had never come to that village, so excitement grew. "We must throw a big celebration," the villagers all agreed. But it was a very poor village, and there weren't many resources. Someone came up with a classic idea. Since many of the villagers made their own wines, the idea was for everyone in the village to bring a large cup of their choice wine to the town square. "We'll pour it into a large vat and offer it to the king for his pleasure. And when the king draws wine to drink, it will be the very best that he has ever tasted." The day before the king's arrival, hundreds of people lined up to make their offering to the honored guest. They climbed a small stairway and poured their gift through a small opening at the top. And finally, the vat was full. The king arrived, was escorted to the square, given a silver cup, and was told to draw some wine, which represented the best that the villagers had. He placed the cup under the spigot. He turned the handle and then drank the wine, but it was nothing more than water. "You see, every villager reasoned, I'll withhold my best wine and substitute water." What with so many cups of wine in the vat, the king will never know the difference. The problem was, everyone thought the same thing, and the king was greatly dishonored. Today, Palm Sunday, we choose to honor our great King, Jesus Christ, by giving him our best, withholding nothing, giving him our all.
A second key is that a committed faith is relationship driven. Now, many of those who gathered to throw their coats, the palm branches onto the street, who shouted praises, did so because it was the popular thing to do. At that moment, it was quite trendy, we could say, because this is the way you honored a great person. Perhaps some began doing it with sincere motives, but but others soon did it simply because it was the thing to do. Later at the trial, shouting, "Crucify him!" That was the thing to do. If you wanted to be popular, if you wanted to be trendy, you were a part of that movement. In fact, for a brief moment, to make a mass murderer and a criminal their hero, when they shouted, "We want Barabbas," was the thing to do. In our own lives, a committed faith, as we know it today, comes only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, one where every day is fresh and new, as he personally directs our steps. In order to have a committed faith, we must develop and we must maintain a personal relationship with him.
A third key is that committed faith is not swayed or blocked by our personal trials and crises. At the parade, it was trendy to offer praise. Everyone was doing it. But the trial to speak out for Jesus, now that was rather risky, possibly even life-threatening. Many of us come to Jesus expecting everything to go well. Maybe some slight bad luck, but not too much of it. So when the bottom drops out for us, we often ask God, "Why?" Thinking it is not supposed to happen this way. And right now in our country, even throughout the world, the one word question is, "Why?" has been asked. Why, God? When our health was so good, why did a pandemic have to have happened? Why should we have so many of our people so sick and have so many die? Why does it have to be so severe that we have to stay home from work and watch our bills mount up and our wages and investments drastically decline? So the question keeps bouncing around the world. Why? 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 If our faith is based on our situations or circumstances, it will never be committed. It will always be casual. In my life, I have gone to many big Christian events, such as Promise Keepers, many packed, large stadiums, where the praises for God rock the entire arena, where everyone is praising God. When returning home, while everyone is still glowing from the worship, I say to the guys with me, "It is easy to do that here. But tomorrow, you face the hard task. Can you do that in a world that is not all praising God? In fact, a world that is mocking, laughing, and is often angry at God." A committed faith takes the good with the bad, knowing that all we are ever promised is that in the midst of both our good and bad, Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. He will stand with us.
As an illustration, you may have heard the story about a little girl who was walking in a garden when she noticed an exceptionally beautiful flower. She admired its beauty and she enjoyed its fragrance, and she stated, "Oh, it's so pretty." As she gazed on it, her eyes followed the stem down to the soil in which it grew. She said to herself, "This flower is too pretty to be planted in such dirt." So she pulled it up by its roots and she ran to the water faucet to wash away the soil. Well, it wasn't long until the flower wilted and the flower died. When the gardener saw what the little girl had done, he exclaimed, "Well, you have destroyed my most precious flower." Oh, I'm sorry, but I didn't like it in the dirt, she said. And the gardener replied, well, I need you to know that I chose that spot and mixed that soil because I knew that only there could it grow to be a beautiful flower. You know, God has placed us. God has planted us exactly where we should be. And we must trust him. In the trusting, we eventually see that he is using our pressure, our trials, our difficulties, the dirty soil, in essence, to bring us to full blossom, to a new degree of spiritual beauty. True contentment comes when we accept what God is doing and when we thank him for it. This Palm Sunday, is your faith casual or is it committed? As we approach this week where our Jesus suffered incredibly for us, in a week where our sins, past, present, and future, were nailed to the cross, doesn't Jesus deserve a second look? Doesn't he deserve our total commitment? Doesn't he deserve this personal relationship with us? This week, consider it. Consider it all and choose to give it all to him. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear gracious God, thank you for your gift to us, your Son, Jesus. Thank you for giving us a second chance to accept your Son, even though the people of the first century turned away from him. The coming Friday. We don't deserve your salvation, Lord, but we gladly accept it. In your precious name we praise and pray. Amen.